ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी So we saw the 14th shloka a couple of days back. We saw the 14th shloka of the 6th chapter of Gita. So Prashantatma Vigata Bihi Brahmachari Vrate Stitaha Manas Samyamya Machitto Yukta Asita Matparaha. So a person should focus the mind, manas samyamya, after controlling the mind, after gaining a bit of focus of mind, the focus has to be directed towards Ishvara, matchittaha, fixing the mind onto me, on Ishvara, on Brahman, and yukta asita, being steadfast, and matparaha, considering Ishvara as the ultimate goal. So, that is what we saw in the previous shloka. So, in most of the cases, not most of the cases, in almost 100% of the time, whenever we do some action, so whenever we have to do something, so whatever it is that we have to do, it doesn't matter what it is that we have to do, but whatever we have to do, like whatever we are supposed to do, like there is always a fruit, a goal seeking which we like we perform actions. So the goal is attaining the goal means like we will get some fruit. So without fruit, without seeking any fruit, if there is no fruit, it's impossible to perform or run behind anything. So this means like anything is the incentive behind anything, seeking anything, any seeker, seeker of Vedanta or seeker of any other thing, like any other worldly goals as well. So anything that we seek that requires a phalam, so fruit. So that phalam, mentioning that phalam, glorifying that phalam is very important. In a way, we can say that is a publicity. So, publicity for the phalam is essential in order to ensure that a person is running behind, or a person doesn't feel the lack of any effect out of doing something. Not just that, it also ensures that people are pulled towards. People have some kind of trust, or some people are instigated into realizing, into seeking, seeking the goal. So that is some kind of very important anywhere. So Vedantic goal is the same. Anywhere or in any shastra, the Vedantic goal will be explained or will be defined as the same, which we saw in the previous day, though it cannot be really entirely appreciated, which means like it cannot be fully defined. However we may define, it will still remain a kind of unknown. So we can just get a hint at it. Like we can, like whenever, as we spoke yesterday, tasty food, like a dumb person cannot speak about like or express as to how tasty food was. So he cannot express, but he can show some hint, he can hint at it. So he can show some facial expressions, and through that, in a similar way, though the goal of Vedantic goal is or cannot be defined or expressed very well, it can be hinted at. So what, like again, like just reiterating whatever we learned yesterday. So when we say that we can't and like we can't really define. It means that we cannot really appreciate the goal unless we start experiencing the state of moksha or Brahman. Unless we implement whatever has to be implemented in order to keep Brahman in mind or experience Brahman. Experience means intuitive experience, aparoksha anubhavam. We will not really be able to appreciate anything. So that's why many people learn Vedanta. Vedanta is learned by many people. Many people know Vedanta. If we look at missions, like in missions, like many, many people know Vedanta. Everybody knows Vedanta. Today, like Vedanta has become publicized quite a lot. There are many missions, there are like public discourses, there are books. So after learning like two or three books, like a person will just say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. We see people like quoting or using such quotes very easily, very simple terms, but that's just using. Do they really appreciate Vedanta? Appreciation means like aparoksha anubhavam, that blissful state. Do they really experience it? That is a question like which a person has to ask himself or herself. So it is not something that is easy. It might seem to be very easy, but it's not that easy. It is one thing to just preach Vedanta. It is another to experience Vedanta or know Vedanta in its full glory. As Krishna says that Manishyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschid Mam Veti Tattvatah. So like out of thousands of people, like few strive for moksha, and out of the striving people, like only few know me in essence. Tattvatah. Tattvatah veti means like people know me like in essence, people know me really. So it's very few, like it's hardly any people know. It's kind of, it's not that easy. Like we may think very easy, but it is not very easy. It might seem to be very easy, but it is not that easy. It's not as easy as we think it to be. It is kind of tough. It is not very easy. So unless like we implement, we will not be able to know Vedanta in its full glory. And Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedayana Bahuna Shrutena Yamaivesha Vranute Tena Labhyaha Tasisha Atma Vivranute Tanum Swam. So this Atman cannot be known through Pravachanam, giving many discourses. Like there are people who have give discourses for many, many years. Nityananda, the latest example. So giving discourses for many, many years, and then falling for women. What is the point? So that is that's how it will be. Naim Atma Pravachanena Labhyo. I have been giving discourses for 10 years, 20 years. It doesn't matter. The Atman is not known through Pravachanam. Namedaya, I have a very, very strong intellect. I have a very sharp intellect. Doesn't matter if we have a very sharp intellect, which can interpret like the Shastras in whatever way we want. Logic. So there are people like logical logicians are there. Lawyers are there. Lawyers are great logicians. And there are other logicians like Einstein. What did they achieve? What did they gain? Nothing. Like they would have relativity theory, this theory, that theory. What is the point? Does that help? Will that help? Does that help? Does that help in a person experiencing anandam? No, it won't help. Like if that just by like having a good intellect, we will not become realized. We will not gain moksha. Or then like what about like listening to discourses? There are many people who have listened to discourses for many, many years. There are people in Amma's ashram like who have joined Amma 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. What is the point? 30 years of learning like Vedanta, listening to Vedanta, listeners. Listening also doesn't necessarily mean. Listening means something has gone in, that's it. Implementation is required. So then like who realizes? If a person who preaches doesn't know, like through preaching Brahman cannot be known. Through intellect cannot be known, through listening cannot be known, then how can Brahman be known? So how can Brahman be known? So if we ask that question, So how can we know? Like if Brahman cannot be known through preaching, through listening, through one's intellect, then how can we know Brahman? So yamai vesha vrunute tena labhyaha. Yam eva esha vrunute. Like he who seeks Brahman, he who wants Brahman, like he who has the desire to realize Brahman, desire to know, desire to realize, such a person will realize Brahman. So desiring moksha, a person like who desires moksha means mumukshutvam. So mumukshutvam has two aspects to it. Mumukshutvam goes hand in hand with vairagyam. So mumukshutvam means desire for liberation. So why do we want desire? The first question is, why do we want desire? Why do we want moksha? Why do we desire moksha? We desire moksha because, like, we want anandam. And like, why do we want anandam? Because we can't get anandam from anywhere else. That is what is called vairagyam. Knowing knowledge that Brahman alone is blissful, Brahman alone can give us bliss, that knowledge will take us, like that knowledge will make us progress towards moksha or seek moksha in the first place. So a person who desires, seeks moksha, such a person will attain the self. There is no other way that the self can be known. So tameva vidvan ati mrityumeti. A person who knows Brahman, like such a person, like through knowledge alone Brahman can be known. And knowledge is possible if we have the desire to know. So that desire to know will come once we have, like once we are able to understand, appreciate that, like the Brahman, the phalam of Brahman is very specific. It is very special. It is something which cannot be attained anywhere else. So let's say the fruit, like the fruit of moksha. Fruit means moksha itself is a fruit. So moksha can be attained through any other way. So moksha can be attained like if we spend $100, 100 rupees. Like moksha can be attained like if we do 10 years of tapas. If we do 100 years of tapas, then all of a sudden like Shiva or Vishnu or Brahma will come in front of us and then give us a boon. And then we can ask that, oh Shiva, oh Brahma, oh Vishnu, like whoever it is, like give me moksha. You know, that cannot be attained that way. Moksha cannot be attained that way. So, like we already saw, it is a state of mind. Uddhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. It is a state of mind. State of mind means it's internal, it's not external. Like external means can help. External means can guide, but external means cannot give us moksha. Cannot give moksha at all. So, there is no other way that we can get moksha. Just by singing some bhajans, will we get moksha? No. Just by listening to some discourses, some prabhashanam, bhagavatam, daily chanting Lalita Sahasranamam, can we get moksha? Definitely no. If we think yes, then we should look at people like who do that. People like who are doing all those, like people who think they are doing like a lot of spiritual activities, like even in ashrams, people like the various disciples, shishyas and bhaktas of Amma and many other people, they do all this daily. Daily get up in the morning at 5, like take bath, like sit in front of the deity, like do dhyanam, do japam, a very pious life. Is that spirituality? Is that Vedanta? 100%, not 100, even 200% sure that is not Vedanta. Such people might not even know who that Ishvara is. Okay, whom do you worship? I worship Ishvara. Who is that Ishvara? Like somebody, who cares? And like what is the devotion of such people? People like think their devotional level is kind of very high. People think they are very devoted, very spiritual. There are like lot of wrong notions with today's people, because definitions have been changed quite a lot. The definitions in the Shastras are not acknowledged, are not accepted, are not kept in mind, and therefore like we take our own definition, and those definitions are very faulty. Just by doing some japam, dhyanam, like for a few years, we think like we are spiritual, we are devotional. Devotion means, there is a devotion means like sa paranuraktir ishvara, like Shandilya Bhakti Sutra. Shandilya says that sa para anuraktihi ishvara. So bhakti or devotion is like highest like discipline, like our highest like bhakti or devotion means total love or complete unconditional love to Ishvara. Unconditional love for Ishvara is bhakti. That's how Shandilya defines devotion. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so as we were discussing, like many people think they know about devotion, they know like they are devoted. So many people think, like many people have that view, have that notion. They have devotion, they are spiritual. So spirituality or devotion is not just like what we think it is today. So definitions, things have changed, things are different today. So today definitions are kind of very different. Today the definitions that we have about things, about objects, about concepts, so all those are completely, like all those are in a way wrong as well. Those are not right definitions, those are not right views. So those are, in a way, like those are wrong views. So we have a lot of wrong notions. Of course, those notions get transferred from one generation to another generation. So people think they know quite a lot. People think they are spiritual, people think they are devoted and all those. And such devotion, devotion or spirituality which lacks the true essence of constant remembrance of Ishvara, true knowledge, ultimate surrender to Ishvara. So all that, like what will happen is, such people, when they are not able to achieve the goal, then they will think, okay, I am devoted. Yeah, he is devoted, she is devoted, and still this is happening. So we will think all those. So a sadhaka should never think like that. As we were seeing, sa paranuraktihi Ishvara or Ishvari, I forgot. So total devotion, total love, unconditional love to Ishvara is bhakti. So that is true bhakti. True bhakti means unconditional love. Such unconditional love is kind of rare today. Unconditional love, like we can see, like in certain cases, like unconditional love is there. In Hanuman's case, unconditional love. Rama said, like, jump, cross over the ocean. Hanuman just jumped. He didn't even know he could jump. He just jumped, that's it. So that is unconditional love. And in such unconditional love, there will not be any complaint. So Sita had unconditional love for Rama. She never complained as to why it took Rama so long to come and rescue her. Like Sita didn't complain to Rama that like why she was away for long, why he didn't come back, like when Ravana came to kidnap her. So she didn't complain. So such complaint will not be there. So in true love or true devotion, there will always be experience of ananda. So in true love, a seeker, a sadhaka, like a bhakta, will be experiencing anandam like each moment. So then where can there be any complaint? There cannot be any complaint. But today, like we have complaint, like if 15 minutes Vedanta, then people start complaining, only 15 minutes? If Amma doesn't come like one day, or Amma comes and goes early, then like complain. If Amma stays for long, still complain. Why? Why can't Amma stay longer? If Amma speaks, then complain. If Amma doesn't speak, still complain. And then like we call it bhakti. We call it devotion. Those are not devotion. Those are all like wrong concepts. Like we have a lot of wrong concepts. Like true devotion, true spirituality, as we saw, practical Vedanta. Vedanta itself is practical. So true spirituality means true Vedanta. True Vedanta means a true Vedantin will never complain. A true Vedantin has no complaint. So like whether like sleeping for 4 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, there is no complaint. There is food, okay, fine, no complaint. There is no food, still no complaint. There is no bhajan, still no complaint. There is bhajan, no complaint, still. So whatever, like job is there, no complaint. Job is not there, no complaint. There will not be any complaint. Complaint means like, it's dukkham. Like complaint means like lack of happiness is complaint. When we start complaining, when we lack happiness, when we don't have happiness, then we complain. Such lack of happiness will not be there in Vedanta. That is what Krishna says in the next shloka. A person whose mind is filled with Brahman, filled with Ishvara Chinta, Ishvara Smarana. So that means like it's not just like once in a day, once in a while. If we think like we are doing Japam, Dhyanam and all those like for once or twice a day and then immediately like Ishvara should bless us, that will not happen. Blessing, true blessing is not like, we cannot be achieved so easily. True blessing means we have to first conquer Ishvara. Conquering Ishvara means like putting Ishvara in our heart, keeping Ishvara in our mind at all times. So ensuring that Ishvara doesn't leave our mind, that is conquering Ishvara. And that will give us anandam. And anandam, as we have been seeing like again and again, that yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaye evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshura mate buddha. Like whatever pleasures like we attain in the world, like whatever pleasures we are able to get in the world, so worldly pleasures, sensual pleasures doesn't necessarily mean just eating and sleeping and all those. Like even bodily pleasures, like body remaining strong, the mind remaining strong, eyesight remaining strong, all those are also sensual pleasures. All those pleasures are seeds of sorrow. Dukkha yonayaha, dukkha yoni. They are seeds of sorrow. Why? Because adyantavanta, adiyantam, they have a beginning, they have an end. We start enjoying them, there will be a time like when we will stop enjoying them. So that is guaranteed, that it is ensured that this will happen. Like nobody can change this law, change this rule about like worldly pleasures. So that will always be there. And such worldly pleasures are seeds of sorrow, because we can never get eternal bliss from them. Therefore, bahya sparsheshu asakta atma vindati atmani yat sukam sa brahma yoga yukta atma sukam akshayam ashnute. Bahya sparsheshu asakta atma, a person like who is not attached to external pleasures, sensual pleasures, because he knows that sensual pleasures are temporary, he or she knows that sensual pleasures are temporary, are seeds of sorrow. Therefore, like sensual pleasures, not running behind sensual pleasures and seeking Ishvara, seeking Brahman, seeking moksha, a person becomes established in Brahman, established in Ishvara, and akshayam sukam, happiness, akshayam, which doesn't have any kshayam. Kshayam means reducing decay. There is no decay, there is no reduction. So, like anything that we attain in the world will get reduced. So when we earn money, like we earn, like for a month we work and we get the salary. When we get the salary never remains the same. It gets depleted, like it slowly reduces. Everything in this world is like that. It gets reduced, but this is akshayam sukham. It is a sukham, it is a happiness like which will never get reduced, because it is true bliss, it is eternal bliss, it is an eternal entity. Brahman remains forever. Brahman is eternal, therefore the happiness, the bliss that is attained from Brahman also will be eternal. So such eternal bliss a person will attain by remembering Ishvara, remembering Brahman at all times. So conquering Ishvara, putting Ishvara in our heart, that is true devotion. And when that is done, it doesn't necessarily mean like we will not have like physical problems, we will not have other problems. So when a person grows old, like physical problem will be there, eye problem will be there, obviously eye problem will be there. Balakrishna Nair, he is like 80-85 years old. So he gives prabhashanam, but like while giving prabhashanam, like going to the stage, some two people have to like hold on to him, or they have to help him get there. He can't walk by himself. So that will be there. So when we grow old, all that will happen. Like when we grow old, physical problem will come, eye problem will come. Like, and today, like we don't have to grow old. Things are there, like even at a very young age, like blood pressure, sugar, like many other problems are there, like for very young people as well. So that is the nature of the body. Body means problems will be there. If problems are not there, then there is something wrong. Definitely there is something wrong. You should remember that, like if there is no problem, then there is like something is seriously wrong. Something is very seriously wrong. And we have to really look into it as to what is wrong. But if, like, or if we are, are able to remember Ishvara, if we are able to maintain a Vedantic perspective, then problems will cease to be problems. The problems will still be there. Nobody can avoid problems like Amma. Like, if we look at Amma, Amma has problems. Physical problem, this problem, that problem, all those will be there. Nobody like in this world can remain without problem. Problems are part and parcel of this world. If problems are not there, then we have to be careful. Like we have to remain alert, because if problems are not there, then there, it means something is seriously wrong. If problems are not there, then like we have to worry. We have to start worrying, because if problems are not there in this world, then something is definitely wrong. There has been no Mahatma, no spiritual person, no worldly person in this entire world, in the past, in the present, in the future, who haven't had any issues. Nobody can live life without issues. Oh, you are living life very blissfully. You don't have any issues. So people look at my parents and say, oh, you don't have any problem. Why, oh, your one daughter is a sannyasi, a son like doesn't want to marry, then what problem you have? Like, you have a lot of money, you don't have to marry them. What problem? So people ask, people think all like me and make all those claims. Like, then why not? Like, you also try not to marry your children. That we can't do. So create problems oneself and then say, okay, you don't have problem. And like, how many people know, like, how many problems are there for a person? So nobody knows. There are like worldly people will go around telling their problems. Worldly people will show their problems to others. Like, of course, to get a kind of sympathy, empathy, all those. And obviously, like worldly problems, if a person is affected by worldly problems, that will reflect in the person's very existence. So worldly problem, like if we sit near people, there have been scientific studies also. So if we stay near a plant and we are not joyous, we don't have any kind of pleasure inside us, we are sad, we'll find that like even the tree will become sad. Like there are cases, like we would have had experiences ourselves when we are sad and we are with people, like we can feel that the other people also will be sad. So many times that has happened with Aparna herself. Like maintaining a very sad face. Like if we maintain a sad face, that will reflect in others as well, around us, surrounding us. So a person who is affected by problems will reflect problems in his or her own very existence. Very existence will show the problem. But so problems will always be there. Nobody can avoid problems. But problems will cease to be problems. Like it is up to a person whether to consider a problem as a problem or externally face the problem while internally remaining blissful. That is Vedanta. That is how like we have to deal with problems. Let problems exist. Okay, let problems be there. But I'll try to maintain. I'll try to remember that everything is one Brahman. So when I try to remember everything is one Brahman in the mind, problems will still be there, but I'll be able to maintain a very blissful existence. And such blissful existence will give me bliss. It will give bliss to the entire world. So when Ramana Maharshi had like many surgeries, still he was struggling in pain. Still he made like he was able to remain blissful. And by remaining blissful, he gave bliss to this entire world. He gave and he is still giving. So that means it is like, it is something which is long lived, it is something which is eternal. So problems will be there. A true bhakta, a true jnani will consider those problems as not any problems. So like when Mirabai like was asked to drink poison, she knew she was drinking poison, still she drank. Why? Because she knew that all these are temporary problems. Ishvara is there. So the problems will cease to be problems. Problems will like not trouble us at all. Problems will be there around us. But problems will not affect us. Problems will not like dukkha lesha spruham. So not even little bit of sorrow will touch us, will taint us if we are able to maintain yogam, jnanam, bhakti. So that is true bhakti, that is true spirituality, where we are able to remain amidst all worldly problems, remain very blissful, remain very happy, very peaceful, like very peaceful existence, like I am very happy. Whatever happens, like I am very happy. Whatever is happening in this world, whatever is happening to me, whatever is happening around me, to my body, all those are fine. I am very happy, I am very blissful. That will be the state. That will be the experience like of a person who implements yogam. So yogam, again yogam means sankalpa tyagam, which means tyagam, which means advaita bhavam, brahma bhavam, that everything is one brahman. So when that is there, the goal that is attained is shanti, anandam, so niratishaya sukam. Many places like niratishaya sukam, niratishaya anandam. Atishayam means that which is kind of excessive, or which like which will vanish, which will decay after some period of time. Niratishayam means that which is eternal, that which is boundless, that which is limitless. So such experience, that is the phalam. That is the phalam of yogam. That is the phalam of moksha, or that is moksha itself. And that is the phalam of Vedanta, Vedantic implementation. Again, Vedantic implementation, Vedanta itself means Vedanta, Bhakti, Jnanam, all those mean we are constantly remembering. Yukta Asita, we are constantly remembering everything is Brahman. Forget that part, like even for one moment, then like we won't get Anandam at that time. That means Anandam will come and go. So when Anandam comes and goes, then like we will not be able to rejoice in bliss. We'll not be able to experience it completely. We'll not be able to immerse in Anandam. Then like we will become sad and things will fall down. Things will not work. Things will be wrong. All those will happen. So therefore it is essential. It is very essential. It is very essential to remember that at all times. So Krishna says, yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasah shantim nirvana paramam mat samstam adi gacchati. So the phalam of yogam is said, yunjan evam, like so whatever has been said. So that means like manas samyamya, fixing the mind, like or controlling the mind, focusing the mind, then pervade your mind with Ishvara, with me. So in that way, yunjan, a person like who does some, like who is able to remain focused, have yogam in Ishvara. So Krishna himself maintains sadatmanam. Sadatmanam. So like sadatmanam. So in one's mind, like a person who is able to focus in one's own mind, and such a yogi, he is a yogi, such a person, niyatamanasah, who has controlled his mind. So a person who has controlled his mind, a person who has fixes his mind onto Ishvara, that means like a person who implements yogam, implements samadhi, and such a person, nirvana paramam shantim. Shantim, like shanti means like peace, nirvana paramam. So paramam nirvanam. So nirvanam means like dukkam, there is no dukkam, that is nirvanam means sukkam. So paramam, supreme anandam. So why supreme anandam, supreme sukkam? So supreme sukham has to be mentioned, supreme sukham, because today we have many types of sukham in the world. There are sukham, like there are gradations of sukham. So this itself leads to a concept like that is accepted in other philosophies, like it is called ananda tarutamya. So bliss experienced by people is different. One person experiences one bliss, another person experiences yet another bliss. So like in the world, worldly pleasures all have gradations. And that those gradations are also, it's not very simple, it's not very easy. One person gets satisfied, fulfilled, like if we think like it is, happiness can be considered as filling the tummy, then one person might get, like generally we can't generalize anything. So we can't say like eating 5 chapatis will fill the stomach completely. No. For one person, one chapati will fill the stomach. For another person, it may take 3. Another person, like it may take 6. Another person, it may take 10. Another person, like it may take much more. So it depends from person to person. So first of all, like happiness from the world is like they are graded. And that gradation is based on a person's perspective, a person's likes. So I might like something. Since I might like something, therefore when I experience that, I will get happiness. Another person may not like it. So a person who doesn't like it, such a person will not get happiness from it. So that means like such gradation, such increase and decrease of happiness based on one's perspective, vision, one's likes and dislikes, one's mental state is there in the world. Therefore Krishna says here ultimate bliss. So ultimate or eternal bliss. Eternal bliss means it doesn't change. That's why in Vedanta we say that have bliss irrespective of whether an ajnani experiences or realizes, a jnani realizes, it doesn't matter. If we know Brahman, there is only one output from knowing Brahman, which is Shanti or Anandam. That Anandam doesn't depend from person to person. Like a person, like Amma is a female, like Balakrishna Nair is a man. Like Amma doesn't have any Sanskrit knowledge. Balakrishna Nair is well learned in Sanskrit. Paramartha is a sannyasi rather than all these people. Like Paramartha is a sannyasi. So there are many cases. Like there are people who are better in some cases. Some who are not. Shankaracharya, the Sringeri Shankaracharya, he sings very well. So Paramartha cannot sing. Balakrishna Nair cannot sing. Amma sings a little bit, not that good. So that means. Okay, don't start arguing, Amma doesn't sing that good and all. So, it's not about singing being good. There are many people who sing very well. There are people who sing very, very well, but still, they'll have any happiness inside. So, it's all a mental state. But anyway, all these differences are there. So, irrespective of all these differences, the one thing that is common in all of these people is that they are all happy, they are all blissful. The blissful state, in each one of them, the bliss that each one of them intuitively experiences internally, that is exactly the same. And that will be the same for us as well. Irrespective of whether we are from the south part of India, north part of India, irrespective of whether we are fat, we are lean, irrespective of all jati, niti, kula, gotra, duragam. Jati, niti, kulam, gotram, this kulam, that kulam, jati. It doesn't matter any of those. Duragam, they are far away. They are far away from Brahman. They can't stand in front of Brahman. Oh, then what about Varnashrama? Varnashrama. Varnashrama has to be accepted. Varnashrama is something we cannot ignore. Because Krishna himself says, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashah. So, Krishna himself says, Varnashramam is there. So, Krishna doesn't say that there. Krishna says, Varnashramam is based on gunam and karma. Based on a person's temperament, mental disposition, and karma based on the action. It's not based on birth. Just because we are born a Brahmin doesn't mean we are great. Like a person will be realized today. Brahmins are the worst people in the world. There will be so much ego. So Brahmin, if Brahmin is there, then girls should not take sannyasam. Brahmin should not mingle with other people. Brahmin should not marry other caste people. Don't start intra-caste marriages. I'm not I'm like it's religion, like going from one religion to another religion, one caste to another caste, and all is not good because it is disrespecting both religion, both castes. Of course, I don't want to enter into that controversial topic. It doesn't matter for us. For us, what really matters is all these distinctions are based on the body. Krishna doesn't say that these Varna Ashramas are there based on the body, based on like the birth. It's based on one's mental disposition. I may be better like as a Brahmin. I may be better to preach. Another person might be better to rule. Another person might be good at trading. Another person may be good at serving. So different people are there, like all different dispositions are there. If we take like 3 or 4 sannyasi disciples of Amma, we'll find. There are people like Kripamrutanandapuri. So it's one of the sannyasi, Swami Kripamrutanandapuri. So he sings, like, but he doesn't sing very well. So he is very good at serving. So how like he will stand near Amma and push people? So queue management, he is very good at it. Amrita Surupananda, like he is very good at speaking. Pranava Amritanandapuri, he is very good at singing. Those are people like Purna Amrita, like he is good in speaking, but like he is good in multimedia. So different people are there, like different, like the same disciples or same or like similar disciples of Amma, they have made different dispositions. So depending on that, Varna Ashramam has been said, not based on the body. So jati niti kula gotra duragam, jati niti kulam gotram, all are very far. They cannot touch the Atman. Nama rupa guna dosha varjitam, namam rupam gunam dosham. There is no name and form. Varjitam. Brahman doesn't have any name and form. So we can try to limit Brahman in a particular name, Vishnu, Shiva and all. All those are just some things which stand for Brahman. They are pratikam. They are symbols for Brahman, symbolism. So in Vedanta Darshana magazine, Darshika Chaitanya writes like articles on symbolism. There were a few articles. So those are all symbols. Pratikam, that which stand for Brahman, they are not Brahman. It's like an ambassador of a country. So ambassador to a country, like he is not the country. He is an ambassador to the country. He represents the country. He stands for the country. The president or the prime minister of a country. He stands for the people. He is not a people. He is not a people. But he stands for the people. So it's a symbol. When we think about such a president or prime minister, we think about the country. So such symbolism, like all these like names and forms are all symbols for Brahman. Any name and form, it doesn't matter. This, like some forms, some names and forms are given, like are beautified, are given more beauty so that we can do dhyanam. As we saw earlier, dhyanam will help in vidhyasanam, which means dhyanam will help in moksha indirectly. So dhyanam, in order to do dhyanam depends on our mental state. Mental state is also fine, but mental taste. So it depends on our mental taste. The person, like one person might like Vishnu because very attractive. Many people like Krishna. Why? Beautiful. Other people like may not like beauty. They may like Shiva because renunciation. So much renunciation. People will like. Yet others will like a fierce form. So Kali, fierce form. So like there are people like that. Depending on our taste, we can choose a form so that it can be used for dhyanam. It can be used to gain focus of mind. And through focus of mind, we can remember the Ishvara at all times. So that is why. So nama rupa guna dosham. There is no gunam dosham. In this world, like when we talk about Brahman, our perspective of Brahman, state of Brahman, like when we see everything as one. If we see ekatva manupashyataha, if we see everything as one, then there is like where dosham, like where is gunam? Gunam means praising or liking, and dosham means cursing. Like where is liking and cursing? There is no liking and cursing, like because we see only everything as one. If we see everything as one, if there is only vision of oneness, there cannot be any likes and dislikes. So guna dosham. Desha kala vishaya ativartiya. Desham kalam vishayam. These conditions, as Einstein himself says, desham kalam. Like desham, kalam, vishayam, like time, space and causation. So these three are interrelated, like if you change one, like the other will change. So things happen like that. So these are not there in Brahman because these are all limitations. Brahman is unlimited. Brahman is eternal. Limitation causes non-eternal, like something to be non-eternal, something to be temporary. So limitation, like as an object which is limited in time, means it will cease to exist after a period of time. Something which is limited in space means it is limited. So which means again, like it will cease to exist after a period of time. So causation, like it is an effect which is which God created and which will get destroyed as well. So all these are not there in Brahman. Brahman is beyond all this. Brahman is eternal. And Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani. Contemplate that Brahman I am. So that Brahman which is beyond all these distinctions. So there is no distinction in Brahman. But distinctions just end in Brahman. In Brahman, distinctions merely end. And in such a state, like such a state, the state of Brahman, we will experience like Paramam Nirvana, Nirvana Paramam. Ultimate bliss. So ultimate bliss means supreme bliss. The bliss like yat prapya na kinchid vanchati na dveshti na shochati na ramate na utsahi bhavati. So Narada defines the state of true bhakti, true devotion, para bhakti or para bhakti. So he defines that as yat prapya, after attaining it, na kinchid vanchati. Person doesn't want anything else. Na kinchid vanchati na dveshti. Na dveshti, a person doesn't get sad. Na dveshti, na ramate, na utsahi bhavati. A person doesn't get too excited, too blissful, too happy, too rejoicing. So like equanimity in the mind will be maintained. So equanimity means the mind is very balanced. So samam. Samyam samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtam tam parameshwaram. Vinashyatsu avinashyantam yap pashyati sapashyati. I think the shloka is right. The 13th chapter of Gita, Krishna gives a shloka that when a person sees like one Ishvara present everywhere, and like why a person like who sees Ishvara and like in this entire world, like a person like who sees Ishvara in this entire world, pervading this entire world, and as like one who is unchanging, who is like who cannot be destroyed, indestructible Ishvara among the destructible world. Such a person really sees means real vision. So when there is real vision, like when we have real vision, when we have proper vision, then we will be able to experience immense bliss. Like proper vision, true vision means there will not be any dukkham. There will not be any dukkham, any sorrow at all. So as Shankara says, nandati, nandati, nandatyeva, there will only be happiness, happiness and happiness. So happiness will be the only experience like when a person keeps this in mind. So mat samstam, and that is my state, Krishna says. Mat samstam adigachati. He attains my state, my blissful state. So how can we know Krishna's blissful state is that? Of course, Krishna is Brahman. Krishna, like we know, Sachidananda Rupaya Vishvotpatyadi Hetave. Tapatraya Vinashaya Sri Krishnaya Vayam Namaha. So Sachidananda Rupam, Krishna is Brahman. So Krishna is Brahman, so we know that Krishna is Brahman. So that Krishna, that Brahman, Krishna who is one with Brahman, that a Krishna has to be blissful, that is one thing. And another thing is like Krishna's very life, like we see in Krishna's very life. We see in Krishna's very life that like Krishna is, like the entire lifetime or lifespan of Krishna, he remained very blissful. So irrespective of whatever happened, he remained blissful. Like we have repeated this many times, but it is worth repeating again and again. So even when like in Krishna, like how much, like if we think we experience a lot of sorrow, we should kind of look at such people. We should look at the lives of Krishna or Rama. Like how many problems they faced. So considering their problems, like what we face is nothing. So like these people, like they lost everything. Mahabali, think about Mahabali. Mahabali lost everything. Ishvara himself took away everything, like he came to take away everything. Think about that poor Mahabali. He lives his own life. He is doing some yajna, which is for the benefit of the entire world, and still Ishvara doesn't leave him. So Ishvara goes. Of course, yeah, Ishvara goes. Ishvara goes and takes away everything. Still Mahabali is very blissful. Of course, Ishvara takes away everything means Ishvara takes duality away. So when Ishvara takes duality away, when duality is taken away, when possessions, kasya sukam va karoti viragah. Krishna, like Shankara says in Bhaja Govindam, that kasya sukam va karoti viragah viragam. Viragam means the detachment to objects, like it means not having any objects, dispossession of objects. How can a person not remain happy, remain blissful, like not possessing objects, not getting attached to objects? Because that is a state of bliss. If we possess objects, like we will think about, like we will worry about losing them. We will worry about like when they vanish, when they cease to exist, when they get reduced and all. If we don't even possess, the best. It's the best. So when Ishvara takes away duality, we will experience only anandam. And how can we do that? We can do that like we can pull Ishvara towards us. Ishvara will come towards us like when we are able to do welfare for the entire world. So welfare for the entire world is only through vision of oneness, through yoga, through remembering Ishvara. Remembering Ishvara is pervading this entire world. So when we have that, when we do that, like when we do that, like when we are able to maintain that, we will see, like we will be able to, when we are able to experience that, when we are able to see oneness everywhere, then Ishvara himself will come to us. So Ishvara will come to us, and like when such an Ishvara comes to us, like when Ishvara comes to us to take away everything, then like when Ishvara comes to take us everything away from us, then we will be able to experience immense bliss. So bliss will be the state. So like when Ishvara takes away duality, with duality dukkham goes, with duality delusion goes. So when all of those vanish, like when duality completely vanishes, like when duality is lost completely, like when we are able to get rid of duality completely, either through like Ishvara, like if Ishvara like removes, takes away all of those duality completely, dukkham completely, then like we will be able to experience immense bliss. We'll be able to experience peace. So that will be the experience. Like when Ishvara takes away all the duality, all the dukkham from us, all the suffering from us. Suffering means mental suffering. External suffering will still be there. Again, we should always remember that true devotion, true love, true knowledge, true Vedanta is considering like everything as Ishvara's grace. Where Amma always says, like if something bad happens, then it is Ishvara's will. If something good happens, Ishvara's grace. When Ishvara Chinta, Ishvara Smarana is there, then there is no dukkham. How can there be any scope for dukkham? Ishvara is blissful. Look, if we think about blissful Ishvara, if blissful Ishvara is kept in mind, if blissful Ishvara is kept in mind, if we are able to remember blissful Ishvara, then where can there be any dukkham? Dukkham cannot be there. Dukkham cannot stay where Ishvara is there. Dukkham is the opposite of Ishvara. So it is like ajnanam or andhakaram. Ajnanam or andhakaram. Ajnanam cannot stand in front of jnanam. So even as andhakaram cannot stand in front of prakasham. So darkness cannot stand in front of light. Ignorance cannot stand in front of knowledge. So similarly, dukkham cannot stand in front of Ishvara, because Ishvara is bliss personification. Ishvara is bliss in nature. Ishvara is, like as we saw earlier, akshayam sukham. So akshayam sukham, so the very presence of Ishvara in our mind will give us bliss. And the more and more we are able to keep that in mind, the more and more we are able to keep remember Ishvara in our mind, we will feel, we will experience, we will see that that bliss starts pervading our very existence. Our very existence becomes very blissful. So the more and more we do that, the more and more and more we do that, like implement it, the more blissful we will get. And the more and more blissful we get, like we will be able to experience immense bliss. And like when the time comes, like when it is, when the time comes that we are able to remember Ishvara without any fail, we are able to remember Ishvara at all times without any fail, then we will see, like we will be able to intuitively experience that bliss pervades our mind. Will be very blissful. There will be no sorrow. There will be no suffering. As Shankara says, Nandati, Nandati, Nandatyeva. We will be able to rejoice in bliss at all times, if that is done. So that is the phalam of yoga, or Sankalpatyagam, or Advaita Bhavam. And that is the goal. That is the goal of Vedanta itself. That is moksha. That is the goal of Vedanta. When we are able to keep in mind Ishvara at all times and thereby rejoice in bliss. And that is, that should be the focus, as in, as we said earlier. So anything in the world is instigated by a desire to attain the phalam. So the phalam of Vedanta is anandam. So keeping that anandam in mind, like if we are able to keep that anandam in mind, the desire for moksha will become stronger. The stronger the desire for moksha becomes, we will be easily able to implement Vedanta through remembering Ishvara at all times. So in the next few shlokas, Krishna will speak a little different topic as to if we have to control mind, like similar as whatever earlier was mentioned about proper place, like in order to do dhyanam and all, proper place, proper body posture and all. So now it is a little generic topic, which is about like proper food, proper eating habits, proper sleeping habits, which all are essential to for dhyanam, not just for dhyanam, even for nididhyasanam, because it's all related to the mind. How the mind, earlier it was how the mind can be controlled, how can and we gain control of the mind by doing dhyanam, external practices, but how can we maintain habits, discipline, not just external discipline, but physical discipline, like things like which help in a way controlling the mind, taming the mind. Those will be explained in the next few shlokas, which we'll see from the next day. But for now, like may Amma bless us, so that we may be able to have this strong desire for this goal, the goal of Anandam, Shanti. So that at least by this end of this birth, we are able to, if not completely realize, at least able to rejoice in bliss at least some part of the day. If not like throughout the entire day, maybe like 1 hour, 2 hour, we are able to rejoice in bliss, so that maybe like two or three births, we will be able to fully realize Ishvara, and then sorrow will completely end, and we will be able to rejoice in bliss. May Amma bless us for the same. We'll continue the next day. Namaskar.